The Mystic's Almanac, Navigating Life with Science and Soul, with Judith Boyce. Votes for Humans. This autumn, when I stand in line at the polls, I will be an owl among elephants and donkeys. Contemplating the ballot, I will be choosing between Earl Grey and Orange Pekoe, Whopper and Big Mac, Macintosh and Johnna Gold, Ford and Chevy Pickup. In a two-party system, all of the candidates are fighting for the middle, aiming to offend the least and appeal to the most. When was the last time someone had a platform, a stand, a vision? The founders of this nation were fed intellectually on the milk of revolution. First France, then the British colonists took their stands. We still are guided by a document that, according to Dr. David Hawkins, calibrates at an unbelievably high level of over 700 out of 1,000, with 1,000 representing full enlightenment. Our founding document, written in an age of monarchs and dictators, stated that all humans are created equal. Even today, this is a revolutionary concept, one that has seeded the possibility of participating despite class or nobility. A man or woman did not have to come from privilege to make a contribution, which was pure heresy in an age of European feudal lords. I would like to say that the fruits of the revolution gradually decayed, like the pigs caricatured in Orwell's book 1984. Recent analysis by economic historian Gregory Clark at University of California, Davis, however, suggests that as much as 60% of our social status is determined at birth. Joseph Ferry at Northwestern University offers an even more shocking finding, that the speed of social mobility has not changed since the Middle Ages. Despite the Declaration of Independence and the artfully penned Constitution, the founding fathers and mothers could not completely eradicate the lines of privilege and poverty. I have no illusions about what brings about real change. If I am waiting for a governmental structure outside myself to transform my world, I will be left standing homeless, naked, and hungry. I need to fashion the home I live in, the community I construct, the nation I want to inhabit. Clearly, I cannot do this work alone. National governments are swayed only by a handful of Herculean souls, the likes of Gandhi and Abraham Lincoln, Susan B. Anthony, and Hildegard of Bingen. Last night, I spoke with my mother about the upcoming elections. I was surprised to hear the scale she used to weigh the candidates. She was more concerned about how downsizing the military would affect her grandson's job with a government contractor than on the global impact of a less militant superpower. "Mom," I asked gently, "are you more concerned about your grandson or about the nation?" How often am I tempted to use this privilege I have been entrusted with to leverage my parochial interests? I wield great power. Am I mature enough to use it? Do we as a nation engage our minds and hearts in these decisions? Are we grappling in coffee shops and bars, in schools and churches, at bus stops and yoga classes with the issues of the day? I support a voter who has thought through her stance, even if different from my own, over someone who chooses a candidate based on the color of his tie or the cut of her hair. Going to the voting booth this autumn, I have no illusion that the candidate I vote for will revolutionize the world. I leave that door open, but mostly I will be doing damage control, struggling to make the best choice between two flawed human beings. I will apply my privilege, remembering that voting is indeed an honor, not to be taken for granted, even if I am choosing between Granny Smith and Red Delicious.
Judith Boyce is a naturopathic physician, acupuncturist, and award-winning author. She lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma.